when they came to him and told him, Lazarus is sick. He's about to die. What did Jesus do? Waited 4 days. What would most people do? Boys, get up. Let's go. We got to go. Lazarus about to die. Let's get there right now before he died. What did Jesus do? He strolled in the spirit. Amen. 5,000 men hungry, not including women and children. He looked at his disciples and said, go feed them. See, he's introducing them to a supernatural way of living. He said, you go feed them. And what did they do? In the natural, they say, we don't have enough, because they looked in the natural. Then Jesus said, well, what do you have? You have nothing but these 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring it to me. And what did he do? He turned that around and he looked up to heaven and he blessed it. He said, Father, bless this. And he gave thanks to God. He said, now set them down in companies of 50. See, he wasn't agitated or disturbed or anything. He didn't care what the number was. Why? Because he's living in a supernatural arena. He's not governed by the natural laws. When he went up into a mountain to pray and the disciples left him, he just started walking on the water. And he wasn't walking fast. He's taking his time. That's how he lived. He lived in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. And when you live in that arena, then it removes the stress and the turmoil from your life, to where you are just dependent upon your Father, because he also had this mindset. I only say what I hear my Father saying, and I only do what I see him doing.
Glory to God. Glory to God in my heart. You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in 2 locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
And had to come back on yesterday because Friday night my mother had a stroke, and when I got to the hospital last night, she was sitting on the side of the bed and smiling, and my wife and I and my daughter walked in the room and she said, I'm so glad y'all came. And I said, well, I'm glad it came too, mama. You know, that's mama, and no matter what else going on, gonna be there. So but my wife and I said, well, you know, we haven't been at 11 o'clock in a while, so let's go over by 11 o'clock service and share with you. So just pleased to be here and to see all of you, your smiling faces. I want you to know God is good. Amen. And when my sister called me Friday night, they didn't really know what was wrong. They just said she had to go to the hospital. I said, well, just kind of keep me posted. I had already made up my mind that I was going to leave Saturday and come home, you know, because she had gone to the hospital. But before I talk to anybody else, I talk to Jesus. Because let me tell you, that's the answer. to all of our issues, our situations, our problems, our circumstances. Jesus. 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 There's just something about the name. He's my master, Savior, Jesus, just like the fragrance after a cool summer rain. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 little heaven, heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kings. But there's something, something about that name. Can I say that just one more time? Jesus. 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 About that name, in case you don't know who he is, he's my master, no doubt about it, he's my savior, his name is Jesus, Jesus, just like the fragrance after the rain. I'm going to go on to my seat. Jesus. 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 Let on heaven. Heaven. They gotta proclaim, kings and kingdoms. All this stuff right here is gonna all, it's gonna all decay one day, pass away. But there's something, I said there's something about that name.
Jesus, Jesus. Woo, glory. Ah, my, 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 my. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for this opportunity.
It's all right.
To declare your word between the living and the dead.
Yes,
to utter
Hallelujah.
What you placed in our spirit.
Oh, yeah.
from your holy writ. Meet us right where we are in our situations, in our circumstances, in our crises, and even in our comforts. And remind us, God, that you know us better than you know yourself, than we know ourselves, and that you have for us a better plan than what we are experiencing even now. Meet us in the text and tailor the truth that every hearer's heart might not only hear, but obey the principles that you shall bring forth today. And God, will be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Donald, for that. My heart is made happy. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to be long because the text isn't long this morning. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. And it says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Yes.
For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, there's hope in God's hand. There's hope in God's hand. My brothers and sisters, this word before us today is helpful and I believe encouraging to the believer who may be experiencing trials and tribulations and situations that they're not able to navigate, that many times seems to be more than what they're able to bear, that may be oppressive, overbearing, overwhelming. There is a word for us today that says to us that there's hope in God's hand. Jeremiah is historically speaking to the house of Israel, and he's giving them a message. The chosen people of God, whom God has favored like no other nation, like no other people. He's speaking to them because there are some ways that they have demonstrated before God that he's not pleased with. There are some things that they have decided to do, directions they've decided to go, attitudes they've decided to have, that are contrary to the word, the will, and the way of God. And God calls Jeremiah's attention. In verse 1, he says, listen, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, to arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Yeah. Verse 3 says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Verse 4 says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make.
Yeah.
Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do to you what this potter has done?
Yeah.
Saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. And I think I need to tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you don't get the message already, I want to take a few moments and break it down. It won't take long, but I need you to understand that God was saying to Israel and to us pragmatically, who are now children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus, we are of the family of faith. So pragmatically, there are principles we can learn and apply from this word today to help us understand that there is hope in God's hand. The first thing I want you to see is that Jeremiah makes clear that God is saying to them, his chosen people, his favorite people, listen, that I've got some issues with you. What are the issues, God? You've got some flaws. Flaws. Verse 4 reveals that they had flaws. And I just want to deal a little bit with verse 4 and verse 6, because this is where you begin to understand there's hope in God's hand. Yeah. First of all, the flaws that are in you is already in the hand of the Lord. Listen at me when I tell you, my brothers and sisters, there is nothing about you God doesn't already know. There is nothing about you God doesn't already see. That there's nothing about you that the devil can tell God about that God didn't know before he ever created you. And so when you recognize, identify that you have flaws, don't just stop at the fact that you identify you have flaws. Identify also geographically where you are. Because there are a lot of folk, matter of fact, everybody, I don't have to know your name, your income, your social security. I don't have to know nothing about you to know you got some flaws. But the question becomes, are you in the hand of God? See, God has a special favor for those who are in his hand. Those who are not in the hand of God, meaning in the favor of God, don't have God to be able to work his program out in their lives like those who are in the hand of the Lord. One of the things that I love about the word of God, Psalm 37, 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Now look at what he says. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So my question to you is, how far can you fall in the hand of the Lord? You can't be too low down in his hand, because his hands only go so low. And you in his hand have hope that your flaws, your mars, your scars will be dealt with, as he is the master. Listen, so the first thing is, you're in his hand.
Yes, Lord.
Your flaws are in his hand.
Yes.
So that means your hope
is in his hand.
Yeah.
But thank God there's hope, because hope represents the next point that I need to make. If you got hope, can I tell you, help ain't too far. Help is in his hand. But preacher, how do you know help is in his hand? You just told me about the flaws in his hand, in the vessel. Well, I think I need to tell you that verse 4 says, yes, there was a flaw. There was a corruptness and an issue with the clay. There was an inconsistency in the clay that caused it to be a flaw in the vessel. And I recognize that that flaw was observed by Jeremiah, but it didn't move the potter, because all the potter did was make it over. Yes. Listen at this. Help. Help. What kind of help? Three things. Your fix.
Yes.
Your fit.
Yes.
And your finish.
Are
all in his hand.
Yes.
Somebody, if they got there, would be shouting by now.
Yes.
I say your fix,
yes,
your fit, and your finish.
Yes.
Well, preacher, how do you get this? It's all in verse 4. Listen, the fix to the flaw was that God said by the potter's demonstration, I'll take the flaw. Not discard it, the clay, not take it and do away with it, but take it and throw it back down on the wheel. Get me some water, mash down what I did, and restructure, recreate, and turn my jar into a jug. I'll recreate what I started, so I'll fix the flaw and fit the flaw into the new design and help this, listen, to be what I needed to be, because a flaw doesn't necessarily mean that the vessel cannot be used. As long as the flaw does not prevent the purpose, the performance, or the plan of the design, then God can still use you with a flaw. So you need to tell somebody who's looking at your flaws that God isn't through with you. And listen, God is the one who's going to fix you. And God is the one who's going to fix you. And God is the one who's going to finish you. And can I tell you, he never let the vessel go until he was through with it. Until he was finished with it. Tell somebody, I don't care how I look, he ain't through with me yet. I know you might not like what you see, but I got news for you. He ain't through with me. He's still fixing me. So I can fit in where he wants me to fit in. So I can finish this job the way God wants me to. Listen. The finish is this, as seemed good to the potter to make it.
Yes.
And can I tell you, the finish is when God smiles at it.
Yes,
it's finished.
Yes, it is.
When God is pleased with it,
yes,
it's finished.
Yes.
Why? Because it don't get no better than that. But I need to take a moment and just go back just a little bit and help us understand, those of us who deal with flaws, we let the enemy think that we are no longer worthy vessels. Because of our flaws. In the redesign, nowhere in the word does it say he removed the flaw. I was telling 745 service this morning, I was looking at a house one time and it had exposed beams. And those exposed beams were in all of the major areas, but in the living room there was an exposed beam that had markings on it. And I asked the realtor, I said, why would they put this very large exposed beam in the living room where everybody could see the marks on the exposed beam like these?
Yeah.
And the realtor smiled and said, those marks are called character marks. And this wood is different from the others because it's called distressed wood. And this wood is more valuable than the other woods because what it suggests is that it went through whatever it went through, but it made it. And sometimes God does not want to hide your flaw. He wants to display your flaw. To show folk that even though you've been through some things, you can still be presented and displayed as an honorable work by God that God is pleased with for all men to see. You may not be perfect, but perfection is in you. And when God gets through with you, I'm almost through here. You might as well help me. You will be what he wants you to be. My brothers, my sisters, listen if you will. Listen at your will. There's hope in the hand of God. There's help in the hand of God. But lastly, there's honor in the hand of God. God's hand requires that's in his hand be honorable. That's why God keeps working on us. You may not be honorable when he gets you in his hand. Just like the clay was not honorable when it was just a massless, formless, shapeless piece of mass. But it wasn't until the potter began to mold it and to shape it and to cause it to become what he had in his mind, a reality. And then it began to take on shape and form and become what God wanted it to be. It became honorable only after God finished it.
Finished it.
Listen. You become honorable because Jesus said, whatever, whomever is in his hand, the devil can't pluck him out. And what a joy it is to know that you are in the hand of the Lord. And in his hand, listen to what he says, Jeremiah 29 and 11, I know the thoughts I think about of you. Thoughts to prosper you, bless you, bring you up, do good to you, make you a blessing, not a cursing. Look at what he says. It's because you are honorable in God's hand and when he finishes you. Oh, my brothers and sisters, a great gemologist can take a stone, a diamond, and see what's called an inclusion. And that's a fault. But a great gemologist knows how to cut the stone in such a way that he works with that little flaw and actually cut around it and cut it in such a way that the flaw is able to reflect light. Throwing off with the naked eye the ability